uma cobra, é um pau.
É João.
É José.
É um espinho.
Na mão.
É um corte.
No pé. São as águas de março fechando o verão. É a promessa de vida no teu coração.
É pau.
É pedra.
É o fim
do caminho.
É um resto
de toco.
É um porco.
Sozinho. É um pato, é uma ponte.
É um sapo, é uma rã.
É um belo horizonte.
É uma febre terçã.
São as águas de março fechando o verão. É a promessa de vida no teu coração. Pau.
Pedra.
Oco,
vinho,
aço,
hidro,
vida,
ol,
oite,
forte,
aço,
sol.
São as águas de março fechando o verão. É a promessa de vida no teu coração. Badaba, pode bandida, zazazida, badananinha, andandede, badandede.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Tuesday edition. Today's date is the 13th day of March 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It is great to have you here with me today. Many things are happening in the world. You know, there's so many events happening with this new ramp up for Iran and all of the failures and false reporting coming out of Iraq and this latest APEC meeting, this festival of sickness that they threw in Washington, D.C., and all this other stuff, so many items. And there's also something that I wanted to bring up with my guest today, and that is health issues. My guest has been on the show several times. She is an expert in the health field. She's a doctor, a medical doctor. And she's somebody who talks straight about what it is you can do in your daily life to avoid the disease process. And I want to bring her up right now. Lorraine, are you with me?
I'm here.
Well, you know, Lorraine, I want to go right into the idea of what is a disease process. And I've always understood it to be a mixture of genes and lifestyle and happenstance. In other words, if you end up living next door to a polychlorinated biphenyl factory, you're behind the eight ball to start with. But the other things we can control. We do know that day-to-day living and changing the way we live our lives has a huge effect on the outcome of our health, does it not?
Yes, it does. And first of all, let me introduce myself by my last name as well.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Lorraine Day, and I am not only a physician, but I was vice chairman of the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at the University of California, San Francisco School of Medicine for many, many years, and I was also chief of orthopedic surgery at San Francisco General Hospital. And I have been trained in orthodox medicine and was an orthodox doctor for many, many, many years. I still am a physician, an orthodox physician, but I developed cancer myself in 1992, and I chose to get well by natural methods because I realized that the drugs that we give people do not cure disease. They only cover up the symptoms, including for cancer. Chemotherapy and radiation both destroy the immune system, which is the one system you need to get well. So disease is caused, all disease is caused by three factors: malnutrition, dehydration, and stress. Now you say, oh, well, malnutrition, people aren't malnourished. Yes, they are. You can eat a lot of calories and still be malnourished because you're not eating the right thing that feeds your body what it needs to remain healthy. So cancer particularly is a disease of excess as well as deficiency. People eat too much of one thing and not enough of another. They do too many of one thing and not another. It's not just your diet. It is also your lifestyle. So in order to be well, you have to make a permanent change in the diet and the lifestyle. People are sick all over the world. They're getting sicker and sicker at younger and younger ages. And we're doing it to ourselves. I gave myself cancer. I didn't know I was doing it. I didn't want to do it, but I was ignorant. Doctors are ignorant of how to be well. If you go to a doctor for your health, you have to realize that a doctor's life expectancy is shorter than the general population, and the suicide rate is higher. So why in the world would you want to go to a doctor for your health? What you need to know is how to stop doing the things that injure your body, such as, you see, the body is designed to heal itself. If you cut your hand, it will heal unless you do something dramatic to it. You keep putting dirt in it, or you keep picking it open, or you keep injuring it in the same place. If you leave it alone, it will automatically heal. Well, the body in toto is the same thing. If you stop doing the things that injure it, you will get well. But most people don't realize what is injuring the body. And doctors certainly don't know, because the pharmaceutical companies control most of what's taught in medical schools, because they provide the funding for the research for the new drugs that are done by the medical school.
Lorraine, are there any places on earth that are still practicing holistic quality medicine? I mean, or have we lost all of our roots to good eating and good health in that regard? Are there still medical systems on earth that don't bow over to this drug company kind of mentality?
Well, there are holistic doctors, but most of them are hooked up with the new age, and that's not going to really help a person in the long run, because disease actually starts in the heart. Whether it is cancer or lupus or Parkinson's or heart disease, it starts in the heart, because we want to live and eat our way rather than the right way. Now, there are laws that govern our world, and one of them is the law of gravity. And the law of gravity is immutable. It works on everybody, whether they know about it or whether they don't, or whether they like it or whether they don't, or whether they resist it. It is still working on you whether you like it or not. If you go up to a tall building and jump, you're going to go down. And no matter how much positive thinking you can do, you're going to go down, because the law of gravity works on everybody. A child, a baby, when they first get up to walk, they learn at least superficially about the law of gravity, because the first time they fall, they realize they're falling down and may hurt themselves, so they don't fall up. Well, there are 10 laws of health that are just as immutable as these laws of physics. And these 10 laws of health are operating on our body all the time. If we know about them and live within them, we will live a long life, a healthy life, and probably die in our sleep painlessly at a very old age. But if we disobey those laws, we will get sick at a young age and probably die a very prolonged and painful death.
Can we talk about a couple of the more important ones?
Yes. You want to talk about cancer and heart disease? Those are the biggest killers.
Well, yeah, and what kind of factors, other than the obvious? I mean, this life creates stress on us, and here's the situation. I know you have faith in a power greater than yourself that helps you through many of these stressful moments. But aside from that particular, well, and that's very important to people who have faith, but when we're talking about what we can do as human beings to just start living better.
All right. Well, let's talk about the three factors that cause disease. Now, let's also say that genetics plays a very tiny, tiny, minuscule role in disease. Minuscule. Doctors want to tell you that everything's in your genes. By the way, did you know that they found a gene for adultery? How do you like that one? Crazy.
I don't have it.
What they're doing is they're trying to remove all responsibility from anybody for anything they do. And that's ridiculous. And cancer is not genetic. Cancer is not genetic. Heart disease is not genetic, except in a very few instances. There is a genetic disease called hyperlipidemia, where very few people have a deficiency of a certain enzyme that handles fat, okay? But it's very, very rare. Most of the time, people get heart disease because of the way they eat and the way they live. And you say, oh, well, my father died of a heart attack, my grandfather died of a heart attack. That doesn't mean you have to die of a heart attack. All you have to do is stop eating and living like your father and your grandfather did, and you can change it. We know that it's not genetic because, and I discuss this on my videos and DVDs that are on my website at drday.com, we know it's not genetic because you can look at Japanese women in Japan who are postmenopausal, 50 to 70 years old,
yep.
the incidence of breast cancer is extremely low because, mm-hmm. first of all, they live a less stressful life than we do in the Western culture. They eat mainly rice and vegetables and a little bit of fish or meat, and they have a very low incidence of breast cancer. When you bring those same women to this country and you feed them the rich Western diet, and you put them under the stressful conditions that we live in the Western world, they have the same incidence of breast cancer as American women.
Hmm.
So it is not genetic. It's the way we're eating.
Well, isn't it funny, Lorraine? It's not funny, but I mean, I'm looking at the pictures of China recently. They had a report, and I see Chinese people walking down the streets of Shanghai, and it seems like obesity is visiting China in a very huge way. I mean, and no pun intended.
Right.
These Chinese are blowing up like Americans are.
Well, that's right, because we have imported the rich Western diet, the fast food, the processed food, and they're developing the Western lifestyle, so they're going to start killing themselves. This is nothing but suicide. Slow suicide, and people are participating in it all over the world now. Now, let's just talk about cholesterol, all right?
Mm-hmm.
People have a high cholesterol. Well, guess what? Guess where cholesterol comes from?
My liver.
Cholesterol comes from, your body will produce all the cholesterol you need without taking in any extra cholesterol. Your body produces it to make vitamin D and various other things. It doesn't need any extra from the outside. It makes it itself, all right? Now, the only place you can eat cholesterol is in animal products. Cholesterol is not found in fruits, vegetables, and grains. It's not found there. It is only found in animal products.
Well, can I get cholesterol from olive oil?
No. Olive oil is a natural, but of course you can get fat from it. You won't get cholesterol, but you'll get fat from it. So if you eat too much, you can still get fat lining your arteries, but it's a lot better kind of fat, and it's less prone to give you heart disease than if you eat animal fat. But
so what I shared with you, and I'll share with other people. In France, they told me I have 7 grams per liter of cholesterol. Is it in fact deceptive in some way? Because, you know, recently, I mean, about a year ago, I had an angiogram, believe it or not, and they thought I was had heart disease. Well, they got to the heart and found out I had no plaque and I had no blockage. And I said, but I had 5 grams per liter at that point, and that's why they did the angiogram. And what it said to me was, maybe they're not right about this, and I don't eat a whole lot of meat. I'd say once a week or sometimes twice. I do eat a lot of my own vegetables from the garden and whatnot. I'm wondering why I have such a high level of fat in my blood and I don't have these plaques.
Well, there's another thing that causes fat to accumulate, and that is stress. Stress upsets the body so it can't process fat properly,
mm-hmm.
and will also raise your cholesterol. So if it's what you're eating as well as your stress. But people are always saying to me, how do I lower my cholesterol? And I say, stop eating it. All right? And
mm-hmm.
the easiest way to lower your cholesterol is to stop eating it. And you will notice another thing, that if you have a steak, you buy a steak at the market, the fat around the edge of the steak and even what's marbled in the steak is solid at room temperature.
Yep.
Whereas vegetable oil is liquid at room temperature.
That's right.
Well, when you eat the stuff in your body, it's also solid at body temperature, the animal fat.
Yep.
Whereas the oil of vegetable oil is liquid at body temperature. And so it's much better to, if you're going to eat any fat at all, to have olive oil. Another good, if you're going to cook with oil, cook with olive oil. If you're going to have oil in a dressing or something, you can have olive oil or flaxseed oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nutritious oil. Either one, you don't want to have a lot of it. There's no need that people have to fry foods. You don't need fried foods. You can saute things in water. And spices, you don't have to saute them in oil. And so people are eating far too much oil, And, but at least if you're doing vegetable oil, that's better than animal fat.
When you saute with water, it's called poaching.
Well, you don't have to, I realize that you don't have to poach things. You can just saute them and soften them just like vegetables. You could, when I have vegetables over rice, I will just saute them in water, which just cooks them a little bit and they're still crispy.
Yeah, you know, see, some of this stuff, and this is important, I think, Lorraine, because a lot of this sounds like common sense to me. And see, what happened to it? Where common sense seems to be very uncommon these days.
Right.
And, you know, even I, somebody who's, I got 2 years of nutritional science in study, I knew these facts, and yet I would choose not to live them. And in other words, knowing full well what I was eating was probably poisoning me, I was doing it anyway, and I don't know if that has something to do with being barraged by all these advertisements or the ease of which it is, you know, to get fast food. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you I knew better and still did it.
Well, a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people know that they should drink 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. People know that they should exercise. People know that they shouldn't eat sugar. They know all this, but they don't do it. And the reason they don't do it, several reasons. Number one, they like how food tastes. They live to eat rather than eat to live.
Yeah.
And they don't really care what they, until some crisis, you know, hits them in the face, they just kind of think, well, I can do whatever I want. Look, I'm healthy so far. But we injure our bodies every day, little by little bits, by the way we're eating and living, because we're not feeding our bodies properly, we're not exercising, we're not learning how to handle our stress. And so when people then go to the doctor, well, just let me give you an example. If a person has a headache, they generally take an aspirin or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody knows that headaches aren't caused by a deficiency of aspirin. So why do they take an aspirin? Well, first of all, they are bombarded with advertisements, you know, or they got on television, there's this hammer hitting somebody on the head, and oh, they got terrible pain, and then the advertisement for this pain reliever comes on. So people just, what they do is they take a pill to cover up the pain. Well, headaches are never caused, as I said, by a deficiency of aspirin or any other pain reliever. Headaches are caused by too much tension, too much stress, not drinking enough water, caffeine withdrawal, not getting enough sleep, and many different reasons. But people don't want to do what their body is asking them to do. They want to just take a pill, cover up the symptoms, and keep on doing what they're doing. But they don't realize when they keep on doing that every day, when they take pain relievers for joint pains, and they take antacids for stomach problems, what they're doing is covering up the symptoms. Then over a period of time, their body continues to deteriorate, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, you know, you have cancer, or you have lupus, or you have heart disease. And they'll say, doctor, how did this happen? They say, well, we don't know. These things just happen. But they don't. We do it to ourselves one day at a time by the way we eat and the way we live. And I have talked to many, many people. I had to change everything about my life dramatically to get well from cancer. And even people who are sick, I'll say, you know, you've got to change the way you're eating. Oh, I don't know. I like my hamburger. I like my steak. I said, enough to die for it? Well, you know what? Some of them say, yeah. And they do die. And to me, that seems senseless and useless. And, of course, they're just committing suicide because they have such an addiction to their food. And everybody is addicted these days. They're addicted to sex. They're addicted to violence. They're addicted to the food they want. And many of these fast foods and processed foods, they put MSG and many other things that are very tantalizing but destroy the body. MSG is a killer. It causes brain tumors. It causes contributes to Parkinson's and
obesity as well, doesn't it?
And yes, well, obesity because you want to eat more, and a NutraSweet, which is a sugar substitute.
Yeah.
Also, the more you eat of that, the fatter you get. And so all of these fillers that are put in are poisons. NutraSweet and all of these other sugar substitutes are poisons, and they are not meant to be taken into the body. They can also cause brain tumors and blindness because of the substances they contain. They contain methanol, which is, NutraSweet contains methanol, which is the alcohol that was from bathtub gin during during a prohibition that caused blindness. It's the same thing.
Yep.
So people need to realize that you don't have to be sick, but you do have to exercise some restraint.
Well, yeah, I've been looking at the things I do and trying to ameliorate some of my lifelong habits, and I've had success. I'm doing the best I can, and it's working. However, you know, to be faced at 50 years old with poor health and know most of it is at my own hands and know that I can reverse it, there's hope there. But what I would like to bring up now maybe is the idea that you know, denial is a big part of this, and getting through that denial, it's the same thing we face with talking to people about Zionism. I mean, I don't want to jump from one subject to another, but when we're trying to deal with all this stuff, most people deny almost everything around them, Lorraine, and they can't face the facts about their own health, about their own children, about their own country, about anything. What is the mechanism inside of people that makes them automatically deny what is the right thing?
Well, it's called the law of cognitive dissonance, and it's well known in psychology that if someone is presented with information that they do not agree with or that upsets the paradigm that they believe in, they will outright dismiss it. So they want to think. I was talking. I happened to run into a woman in the grocery store who asked me to read something on a bottle for her, and we got to talking, and she actually had seen my videos and had seen me on television and was quite surprised that I was there shopping in the grocery store because she didn't know I lived in this area. But she said, you know, she said, I am well except I have found some breast lumps, and so I'm scared. And then she said she can't sleep more than 2 hours a night without a sleeping pill. And then she said that she is stressed all the time. And then she said she's tired all the time. And I said, your whole body is sick. And she says, oh, no, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. That scares me. I said, well, you just told me your symptoms. Your whole body is sick.
Yep.
She didn't want to believe that she just had this little problem and that little problem. And not being able to sleep, by the way, is one of the earliest symptoms of potentially severe illness. People don't realize that. They just take a pill when they really ought to start looking at their life and saying, what am I doing? I'm too stressed. I'm not eating right. I'm eating too late. I'm eating too much. I'm eating too much sugar. I'm drinking too much caffeine. I'm drinking too much alcohol. All these things, and people don't want to change. But if they do change, the rewards are absolutely fantastic. Not only did I have massive, severe, advanced cancer at the age of 1992, when I was first diagnosed in 1993, but the lump appeared in 1992, and I was 55 or 56 years old, and I had a tumor that developed very rapidly. It grew to the size of a softball in a very short period of time, and I refused chemotherapy and radiation and got well by totally natural methods, and I'm a physician. I went against everything that I was taught, and I'm totally well and cancer-free 15 years later, and I can do everything I did when I was 25, and 2 weeks ago I just turned 70. So I can tell you the plan does work, but most people want to stay in denial, or they don't want to do the things that they need to do to get well.
I agree with that, and here's the other side of what we've got happening, because people can't fight the battle that we bring up on this program every day unless they are well. And one of the reasons why I've taken so much time off is because I haven't felt well lately. And I'm a perfect example of someone who can't fight the good fight when I'm not feeling well. And so, you know, we have to take a look at the health first. If the vessel you're walking around in is ill, you're not much help to anybody.
Well, if you have poor health, you can't do anything. And so you can't get excited about what's going on, good or bad. You can't be vigilant about that. You are even a burden to your family if you get sick enough. And so it's very important for us to stay well. And with the things that are coming in the New World Order, you're not going to be able to get what they call health care. And that's the good news. They're going to limit health care. And I say that's a great thing, because then you're going to have to learn how to take care of yourself. And you can take care of yourself. The body is a very sophisticated, complex instrument, but the maintenance of it is extremely simple. And the simple things are this. Your body loses 10 glasses of water every day just by living, just by the processes of living. When you breathe in and breathe out, your breath is moist, you lose water. You lose water from perspiration even when it's not hot. You lose water because your body has to take huge amounts of water from your cells and put it into your stomach for every meal to make digestive juices. All of that water is lost through the urine or the colon. And you have to replace 10 glasses every day just to stay even.
Yeah.
People don't. And when you drink caffeinated soda or coffee or chocolate, which has a caffeine-like compound in it, it takes more water out of the body than comes in with the food or drink.
Are those diuretics?
Yes, they're diuretics. Caffeine is a diuretic. Theobromine in tea is a diuretic.
Yep.
And so, and not only that, caffeine and other elements in coffee are actually nerve toxins. They destroy nerves. So you can't just say, oh, well, I'll just drink more water as I have my coffee. That won't do it. These are actually toxic substances that harm the body. So we've got to drink 10 glasses of water. Now, that's pretty simple. Everybody can start with that. If you only drink 2 glasses of water or none now, then start drinking a couple and work up over the next few weeks to 4 and then work up after that to 6. And people say, well, I don't like water. Well, I say that's pretty childish. It doesn't matter what you like. It matters what your body needs and whether or not you want to stay healthy.
Yeah.
When you say you don't like it, that's what children say. And mother says, well, you got to eat it anyway. Well, when you grow up, people don't grow up. They just grow into larger bodies, but they still have the maturity of a child saying, I don't like that. You know, when you're sick, you better do what you need to do to get well. That's what a mature adult will do.
Or if you're not, excuse me, already a victim of some disease process, in order to stop it from visiting you anytime soon, these are simple things you can just start with.
Well, not only that, one of the biggest causes of Alzheimer's is people don't drink water.
Yeah.
And the brain shrinks, and doctors can't seem to figure out why the brain shrinks. When people have high blood pressure, by the way, they say, oh, we find that the brain shrinks when someone has high blood pressure. And even when we treat the high blood pressure and keep it in the normal range, the brain still continues to shrink. Well, the reason they can't understand it because they have no knowledge. They have knowledge but no wisdom. Knowledge is the ability to gain facts with your senses. By reading and seeing, observing and touching, you can gain facts. But wisdom is the ability to take those facts and reach the right conclusion. And wisdom only comes from God. Knowledge comes from man, but wisdom comes from God. And the reason they can't figure it out is this. The reason the brain shrinks when somebody has high blood pressure is, first of all, one of the causes of high blood pressure is not drinking enough water. All right? And
yep.
So the brain is 85% water. And so when you don't drink enough water, you won't have enough water to keep your brain the size it should be. And secondly, when you drink caffeine or alcohol, they are diuretics and take water out. And the high blood pressure drugs are diuretics. And so here when they treat the blood pressure, they give them diuretics and they can't figure out why the brain keeps shrinking. Well, it's shrinking because they're giving them something to take the water out of their body.
Well, you know, Lorraine, my father-in-law is 85, and the doctors had him on 13 medications. And, of course, he was getting forgetful at 85, sadly for him. But he started taking his medicines wrong. He started doubling things and not taking the others, and he got himself all confused and ended up in a convulsion on the floor.
Yeah.
So, of course, rushed to the hospital, and I'm telling my wife, it's the medicine that he's taking. And she's saying, oh, my daddy, and I'm saying, hey, he's been taking the medicines here that are killing him.
That's right.
Well, we get to the hospital, and the doctor looks at all the medicines, and he's horrified.
Yeah.
And he says, how could you have got all these medicines? He said, well, when I moved from where I used to live to where I came, I kept taking the same medicine, and my doctor here kept giving it to me.
Yeah.
And he's trying to figure out 13 separate, and some of these are Plavix, and I mean, we're talking some powerful drugs. The doctor that he saw had a brain and got him down to 4 drugs. And my father-in-law came back in an instant, and he's healthy again. He's not forgetful. In fact, he was forgetting the right combination of medicine because he was on too much medicine.
Well, that's right. And, you know, that's what's happening all over America. The number one cause of falls in the elderly, by the way, is the medicine prescribed by their doctor, because all of them have mental effects.
Yeah.
Now what your father-in-law can do is he can get on a healthy diet and lifestyle, and he
yeah.
can get rid of all of them. But, again, I don't ever suggest that people stop their medicines abruptly. You've got to get on the plan and get your body healthy, and then you'll find you don't need the medicine anymore.
Well, you know, we have a wonderful garden here, and one of the things I want to bring up is about the nutrient depletion in our soils, because a lot of the minerals that we depend on for our health, selenium and others, that come naturally through our green vegetables and whatnot, are no longer present in many of the foods we eat, because we're eating foods that are factory produced and in the same soil over and over again with high nitrogen fertilizers. And of course, the problem is that you know, people need all of the nutrients that are in our soil. And so basically what I've been doing is giving my father-in-law fresh vegetables, salads, and I'm telling you, the guy's 85, and he can walk a couple of kilometers now, and this is all within a few weeks of him having this event. And some of the stuff came from talking with you, you know.
Yes. Well, let me tell you about the depletion of the soil. Indeed, the soil is much more depleted than it was 100 years ago.
Yes.
But I don't want to concentrate too much on depletion of the soil, because many times people use that as an excuse. They'll say, oh, but the soil is so depleted. I say, you know, buy fruits, grains, and vegetables. But the soil is so depleted. And then I say, how much meat, poultry, and fish do you eat? Well, you know, I said, you have to start eating the right thing. You see, I got well from cancer in the last 15 years while the soil was depleted. I didn't get well from cancer 150 years ago.
That's right.
So what you have to do, and it's not only food, people have to learn to forgive everyone who's ever wronged them. They did studies at Stanford University on forgiveness, and it's amazing what happens when people forgive, because when they forgive, they stop producing the fight-or-flight reaction, which means when you have the fight-or-flight reaction, which is caused by stress of any kind, including holding grudges and being angry, that your adrenal glands will produce cortisone in huge amounts, which will suppress your immune system, and it will produce adrenaline, which will increase your heart rate, it will increase your blood pressure. It's meant for short-term doses, like if you're being chased by a bear or a robber or something like that.
Well, that's the second leg of the three-legged table, the stress thing that we're all facing today.
That's correct. And the body can't tell whether it's domestic stress, job stress, stress because you're angry at someone, whatever. By the way, 50% of all heart attacks occur after an episode of anger.
Yeah.
Right? Because this fight or flight reaction, and when people already have narrowed blood vessels from all the fat that they're eating that narrows them, then they close off and the person just drops dead. But stress, we have to learn to forgive everyone who's ever wronged us. All of these bad things that are coming down in the world today are certainly horrible, but you have to look at them as a train coming down the track, and you want to make sure you're not on the track.
Mm-hmm.
And so the good news is there are lots of things you can do when the trouble gets worse and worse. And one is to learn how to handle your stress. You said earlier that I believe in a higher power. I actually believe in God.
Yeah.
Higher powers can be, you know, indiscriminate forces someplace out there in the universe. I believe in a God that's alive, that's a personal God who helps me. And I want to say that I was an agnostic for virtually all of my adult life until I got very, very sick, and I realized that as a doctor, I know everything every other doctor knows, and I knew they didn't know how to get me well. So I had to turn to the Lord, and I found out I had been through a really rotten divorce and a custody battle for my children, and I was angry at my ex-husband, and if you knew the reasons, you would know that in human terms I had a right to be angry. But I had to let that go. I had to give it up because it was killing me.
Yep.
And so it's not just the food. You've got to feed your body properly. The only place your body has to get the raw materials to make new cells is by what you put in your mouth. If you put food in your mouth that has no nutrition in it, your body is not going to be able to make healthy cells. So every spoonful or forkful of food that you put in your mouth will either make you sicker or it will make you healthier. There is nothing neutral. And so people don't think about that. They just, you know, want to fill up their stomachs. But you've got to look at what you're putting in your mouth.
Now, this, a lot of people have turned, and this has turned into a multi-billion-dollar industry in the country, is the use of supplements. And what I found out was that many of these supplements are far from pure sources of the things they write on the bottle. They're mixed with magnesium sulfates and all kinds of different things on top of a pure form of something that was never meant to be in that form. And so basically, I think a lot of people who are taking supplements are missing the boat, because the body needs – one thing I learned a long time ago, if you want to get the benefit of beans, you have to eat a combination food, let's say with rice or whatever. And these are normal ways of assimilating the nutrients you need. But when you start taking pure stuff that's mixed with pure chemicals like magnesium sulfates and stuff, that's another way of poisoning yourself. Am I correct in thinking?
First of all, you don't have to eat beans with rice in order to get the full effect of the beans. It used to be thought that you had to have this special food combining, particularly if you were a vegetarian, because the body could not store amino acids, but the body can. And in my workbook called Getting Started on Getting Well, mm-hmm. I have the information from the medical journal showing that you don't have to eat in any special way if you're a vegetarian. You just have to eat good food. And so you don't have to worry about that food combining at each meal. But supplements are man-made. They are not made by God in nature. And so, also I talk on my videos about where these vitamins and minerals come from that they put in vitamins and mineral pills. And they come from sewage sludge, toxic cow livers, and animal waste, and various things like that. They come from the most horrid things. And many of them, they'll come from rocks and shells. Those things the body cannot assimilate. We've got to get our vitamins and minerals from food. God made food in all the proper combinations so our body can digest it. I also show on one of my videos called Double Blind, What Science Can't See, that high-dose supplements, including the vitamin C high dose that Linus Pauling was recommending, is not only a fraud, but it causes cancer. If you eat high-dose vitamins, including vitamin C, you have an increased incidence of cancer. Linus Pauling, when he was promoting this high-dose vitamin C, had never done any research on it. And when his colleague, Dr. He was the head of the Linus Pauling Institute. His name escapes me, but I talk about it on the video. When he said, we better do some research. And so Pauling said, oh, all right. And so when they did the research, they found that when they gave these research animals, the equivalent doses that would be what Linus Pauling was recommending for vitamin C and various other vitamins, these animals had an increase in tumor size. They were animals that produced tumors anyway, but it caused the tumors to increase. The only way they could get the tumors to decrease was to feed the animals natural, raw fruits and vegetables. Okay? So that's what, and when Linus Pauling found that out, the other man's name was Dr. Arthur Robinson, and he fired Robinson, even though they'd been friends for years. He confiscated all the information from the study, and then he went around to all the journals and said, don't publish anything of Dr. Arthur Robinson. And so, finally, Robinson sued him in court and won $500,000 judgment and got some of the papers back, but Pauling had actually destroyed many of the research papers, and Robinson finally got it published, and I have a copy of that article and a letter from Dr. Arthur Robinson verifying that all these things happened. And by the way, Linus Pauling and his wife both developed cancer. They both went against what they promoted and went and had orthodox therapy, and they both died.
You know, I studied under Dr. Marion Nestle, a nutritionist at New York University, and she was on the board that did the recommended daily allowance in Washington, and she quit on doing that work, because the RDA that was coming up was being lobbied by food companies and by drug companies. And she said, I can't make recommendations like this because these are incorrect. And what her recommendations were double the number of servings for fruits and vegetables and half the number of servings for any kind of meat protein. And they would not allow this because the meat industry was up in arms and all this other stuff. And she ended up leaving the panel because she said, I would have been giving people advice that would have killed them.
Well, that's right. And see, this is part of population extermination.
Yeah.
What they are doing, you know, we've got abortion and euthanasia, and we've got cancer chemotherapy and cancer radiation, and we've got all these drugs that are killing people that the doctors are prescribing. And so all of this food pyramid and the meat and dairy industry promoting various things that are helping them and destroying the population is all part of population extermination, because the New World Order wants people to die. They believe there are too many people on the earth, and people are unwittingly accepting this information as though it's there to help them when it's actually there to destroy them.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, you know, when we look at this too, and everybody says, well, you know, the French have always eaten cheese, and well, they've always eaten meat, and you pointed out to me in a conversation we had privately, well, they did, but not in the quantities that they eat today. A French family might have had meat once every couple of weeks. They may have had, you know, servings of cheese every you know, week or so. What we do today is we think that you know, we eat these things on a daily basis, sometimes on a you know, twice a day.
Right.
And nobody had, 100 years ago, people didn't eat meat twice a day in their meals.
They didn't have the money to do it. And if they ate it, it was the cow that they were growing in their backyard who was eating the grass. Now, if the cows are filled with hormones and pesticides for the food they're eating, and the cows are being fed what they call high protein supplements, which are just ground up sheep and ground up dead cows, all of whom have diseases.
Yeah.
So this is what's being fed. Cows are supposed to be vegetarians. When you feed meat, poultry, fish to a vegetarian cow, it will become sick. And human beings are supposed to be vegetarians too by nature, because you look at their long coiled intestine and the molars in the back, they are just like the molars of a deer and a cow, and the intestine is the same. The cat family is a meat-eating group, and they have a very short, straight intestine so that meat doesn't putrefy in their intestine, and they absorb those toxins. It goes out of their body very rapidly. But we are not meant to eat meat by the very nature of our physiology. And when people do, they get sick.
Yeah.
So it's pretty simple.
Well, you know, Lorraine, to all of these subjects, I want to move on to what we talk about frequently, because I'm sure you've read in the latest news reports about our politicians all having a festival I can't call it, it's a sick festival over at this APEC conference, and it seems like every person of note in our political system was present at this party they had in Washington. Do you have any words of pearls of wisdom about this particular group, APEC, and what it is that we can start doing to start fighting back against these people? Because it seems like they don't really care. It was really in our face if you saw these news reports.
Well, APEC, of course, is the Jewish lobby.
Yeah.
And in America, the Jews, well, they run the world. Zionist Jews run the world. They run America. They run every country.
Yep.
They've run France since the French Revolution and maybe before.
Mm-hmm.
But our new Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is Jewish. She's not forthright with that, but she is Jewish. The head of the Democratic Party in America is Jewish. The head of the Republican Party is Jewish. The neoconservatives, supposedly, are all Jewish. Most of the administration is Jewish, and George Bush is nothing but a puppet. Now, APEC Jewish sources are the funding sources for something like 70%. They contribute 70% of the money to the Democratic Party and 30 to 50% of the money to the Republican Party. Now I'm sure it's even higher than those statistics because the Jews own both parties in America. So AIPAC is, even though it's supposedly a lobbyist group, it actually runs the government.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that John F. Kennedy Sr., our President Kennedy, was shot because he would not let the Jews in America control foreign policy all over the world, and particularly in relation to Israel. And he realized that the CIA in America is run by the Zionist Jews. They control it. They've infiltrated it. And so, and the reason that, that John Kennedy Jr. was blown up in his airplane, which he was, because he found out who was responsible for his father's death and was going to expose it in his magazine, George. The big mistake he made was he confided that in one of his friends at the newspaper, I mean at the magazine, who was an infiltrating Jewish person. And so that led to his own death. So the AIPAC is just a, it masquerades as a independent lobby, but it really is the lobby.
It is the government, isn't it?
That controls the world.
Now you see, we've been seeing on our 80% of the American public doesn't want Iraq. Of course, we're there. 80 to 90% doesn't want us to go and do anything in Iran, and it looks like they're gearing up for that. What is it we need to do, short of violence, to stop them?
Well, violence won't help because you can't fight violence with violence. The real answer is you've got to have enough information to take care of your family, because both France and America and various other first world countries around the world are eventually going to look like Iraq looks now.
Mm-hmm.
What's coming to every country. So you've got to learn to eat right. You've got to learn to have the strength from the way you live your life. And again, I find, and I know that you are not a Christian and you don't have religious beliefs the same way I do,
mm-hmm.
but the only place there is to go is to God, because he's in control of everything. And people say, well, you know, if he was a good God, he wouldn't allow these things to happen. Well, people reap what they sow. When there is, when they behave in a certain way, they will reap what they sow. If you eat wrong, guess what? You'll get sick. If you're stressed, you'll get sick. This is not punishment. This is just reaping what you've sown. When one country thinks that they are, like America, thinks that they can go and destroy other countries, America is going to reap what it has sown.
It seems like that's well advanced right now, it seems to me.
Yeah. And so the thing is that the only answer is God, because there's no place to hide. I've been around the world looking for a place that is not contaminated with this New World Order business. There is no place.
That's right.
And so the only place to go for a relief from stress is to God, because he's in control, and he tells us, fear not, for I am with you.
Well, now I think we do a fair job of trying to inform people, and we of course in my statements I try to, there are a lot of rank and file folks that I grew up with, Jewish people in my hometown and other places, that I know for a fact are not part of this nightmare. They may be contributors because they don't know any better. But it seems to me like a lot of people are not pro-Zionist from the Jewish community.
Well, that's right.
But they don't get any traction, these people.
Well, but see, that's right, because the low level, and when I say that I'm not being derogatory, the rank and file Jewish person is just as hated by the upper level elitist Jewish Zionists as the Gentiles are.
Yeah,
they're just,
yeah.
The lower level Jewish people are being duped, they're being propagandized, and they're being used by the upper level Jews in order to enforce the agenda of the upper level Jews. For instance, one of the most dangerous places to live in the world today is in Israel. You will notice that none of the big Jews live over there. The big Jews live in France in luxury palaces or New York or wherever. They live in the capitals of the world. There's no discrimination against them. There's no persecution of them. These people, little people, don't have to live over in Israel, but the elitist Jews are trying to scare them. Oh, you have to live there because there's so much persecution and there's going to be another Holocaust and you've got to be over there. And these people are getting bombed and they're living in poverty and all that. Because they're being used by the big Jews, and I would say to the rank and file Jews, wake up! Because you're just being used. They don't care any more about you than they care about the rest of us.
That's right. And we know that they were actually selling boat trips during the transfer agreements. And you talk about the Warburg fortune financing Hitler, and most of the Jews that were sent to camps, from what I understand, in the Second World War, were the Jews that were not going along with the agenda. They didn't want to go to Palestine. They were a cosmopolitan. They wanted to stay in the country they knew best. And if you don't go to Palestine, you're going to go to this work camp.
Right. Well, the Jews very much so worked with Hitler to put these people in camps.
That's right.
They weren't obeying orders from the high-level Jews. And what a lot of people don't realize is the only reason that Hitler went to war was because at the time the head of England, Winston Churchill, who was a Jew, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president of America, was a Jew, and Stalin of Russia was a Jew, and so they wanted to destroy Hitler because Hitler realized that communism was right out of the Jewish Talmud and that this force was going to take over all of Europe, which indeed it pretty much has. And so that was the only reason he invaded Russia to get the German Ukrainians out of the Ukraine that Stalin was destroying, and he invaded Poland just to get the Germans out that they were being slaughtered by the Polish Jews. And so then England bombed Germany 6 times before Hitler ever responded. So Hitler did not want this war. And he wanted the Jews out of Germany, and he wanted to send them to Madagascar. His plan was not to destroy them. And so the high-level Zionist Jews were very complicit in the low-level Jews being put in camps.
Yeah. Well, you take a look at history and start looking at things like the 51 documents or the transfer agreement or the Balfour signings or all of this stuff, and who is still to this day financing the immigration of rank and file Jews to Israel to be part of some kind of sick slaughter that they've got planned for that place.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable because it's still the Rothschild fortune, it's still Warburg, it's still Kahn and Loeb and Honig and the rest of them. And when is it going to be that the rest of us can get some traction on this? I mean, the facts are out there, Lorraine. They're not a secret anymore.
Well, that's right, but they are a secret to people who don't want to know.
Hmm.
The majority of people do not want to know. You know, when you talk to people on the street, you meet people, if you ever start talking about this. I talked to a woman yesterday in the gym. We were talking about the terrible music, and I said, you know, this is all a plan. It was started in the Tavistock Institute in England, and it was a plan. Rock music was a long time being developed to find the right beat to get kids mesmerized and on drugs and sexually involved with sexual degeneracy, and they were able to find the right beat to do it, and that's the rock beat. And so she, I don't like to think about that. I prefer to think that, you know, things are nice and all that. She doesn't want to know.
Mm.
You see? So you're just happy to find some people who do want to know. The people who do want to know is like the AIDS episode when I was very vocal on speaking out about the AIDS threat in America and how the U.S. government made the AIDS virus and it was part of population extermination as well. There were some people who wanted to know and they learned how they could protect their families and rebuild their immune systems. You can only talk to individuals because lots of people do not want to know. All we can do is get the information out there for those who have ears to hear.
That's right. You know, I keep battling this thing, and of course, little things like, you know, going and talking today about health, and these are things that people can put in their put in their quiver and have as arrows against illness and against future problems. I mean, anybody can take a proactive stance on their health anytime they want to. This is not something that is lording over them in some strange way. That the interesting thing is, though, it comes to me that I have to try and motivate people, and that's something different. I mean, I do my best at trying to get people excited about taking action.
But you can't really motivate people. The motivation has to come from inside. All you have to do is look at people who try to quit smoking. If they try to quit smoking for their spouse or for their kids, it doesn't work. It only works when they decide they want to quit smoking. All right? So, again, I don't try to motivate people. I just try to give them the information that might open their mind so they'll want to do what is right. Otherwise, you have a burden that is impossible for you to carry. You can't do it. You know, I used to try it. I wanted to take people by the lapels and shake them and say, you've got to do this. But it doesn't work. You know, some people will listen. I'm just thrilled for the people who will listen. There are some.
Well, you've got somebody here that listens. And I tell you, every time you're on, Lorraine, it's always a new adventure in learning. And I want you to give your information out once again here so that people can get this, if they are of a mind to learn more about health and possibly cures for cancer that are certainly the right choice for people if they're going to take the right action. So why don't you give your information again?
My website is www.drday.com. That's D-R-D-A-Y, and there's no period after D-R, after doctor. It's just D-R-D-A-Y.com. I also want to say that is my only website on health. There are at least 20 websites that are trying to make them look like I run them. I do not. There's someone that's even stolen my name in a different a variation of it, and people think that's my website. My only health website is drday.com, www.drday.com.
Okay, and then your site that has information of people like Nesta Webster
yes.
Who do we have on your site? You have all kinds of writings on there.
I have another website that's on political and spiritual and has some health information on it, too, which is called www.goodnewsaboutgod.com. Good News About God, it's all one word and all small letters. Goodnewsaboutgod.com. I've got lots of information on the political issues, on Zionism, on various other things that are going on in the world.
Well, you know, every time we talk, I enjoy it so much, and you're a friend of mine, and I appreciate you your friendship very much.
Yeah,
I wanted to let you know, Lorraine, I am going to take a little time off from some of this stuff because I need to look out for my health, and I am being proactive about these things because I don't want to fall victim to the ignorance that I'm telling everybody to avoid yet.
Well, that's right, because, first of all, as you say, you cannot fight the good fight if you're sick.
That's right.
And if you're sick, guess who wins? The New World Order wins because they have gotten you by the nape of the neck and you have believed their propaganda. So you don't want to do that, so you have to stay healthy and take care of yourself and not fall into the trap of doing what's easy.
Well, like I said, the next time I will call you I don't know exactly when, but we will talk again.
Good.
And ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Day is not only she's a forward thinking person, and what you need to do is learn more about the things that she shares on health and about eating and nutrition and lifestyle and stress and some of the other things, because really this is the way I think to a better life in general. It's simpler. It's a healthier way to go, and I recommend it highly. And Lorraine, I want to thank you again for being part of the show today, and I will be calling you soon.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Thanks.
Bye-bye now. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget that the things that we talk about in the French Connection, it's not just politics here. It's about a better life. You know, one of the things that Lorraine told me last time I talked to her is, you know, this doesn't have to be killing you. Well, it is sometimes. I'm under stress, and I allow myself to get caught up in stressful situations, and I haven't cared for my health as well as I should have. And I'm trying to make changes about all of that, be proactive about giving myself what my body needs to be healthy. And it's a learning process. It is for me. It will be for you. But I trust me, I know that the benefits are there waiting for me, as they are for anybody who seeks them out. So until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you to be well. Bye-bye now.